Welcome to Your Next Mission podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Good day out there, veterans and families, and welcome to Season 2 of Your Next Mission podcast, a program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and your host for today's show, and we have a great show for you today. In fact, I don't know if you guys are going to be able to take it because these guys are so pumped up. I'm excited just having the preliminary discussion with the commander and the sergeant major. But now before we get started, I want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. They love our veterans and families, and we certainly love them too. Today, we're going to focus on United States Army Training and Doctrine Command, also known as TRADOC. And I'm excited to introduce General Paul E. Funk, Commanding General, and Command Sergeant Major Daniel T. Hendricks, Command Sergeant Major, United States Army Training and Doctrine Command. Welcome to the show. So good to have you on the show.
SMA, it's great to be with you today. The two of us can't hardly shut up about our great soldiers and our great army. So it's great to have you today.
Well, it's great to have you.
It's always good to see you again as well. So really excited to be here today.
Well, I know the audience is excited to hear all the stuff you're talking about at TRADOC, but before we do that, let's tell the audience a little bit about yourself. And sir, we're going to talk to you first and ask you first. Give us a little synopsis about you.
So my name's Funk, and I'm an American soldier.
Hoo-ah.
I believe in what we do, what we stand for, and where we are around the country. I've had the honor to wear the cloth of our nation for over 40 years. And in that time and in that space, it's been my absolute privilege to be among the men and women who will raise their right hand and say, send me. I'm a son of a soldier. I'm the father of three great kids. I'm a grandfather of two. And I have a phenomenal spouse who's also an Army brat, too, and has served alongside me now for 30-some-odd years. And we are delighted to be just part of this great Army.
Hoo-ah! You know, the great thing about that, I also served with your dad years ago, too. So I guess, like I told you before, I guess I'm just getting freaking old. I don't know about that shit. Hey, Sergeant Major Hendricks, what about yourself? Tell the audience about a little bit about yourself.
Man, I got to tell you, I'm just proud to be his partner. It's hard to kind of follow that. But man, I've been in about 32 years. And honestly, when I had the opportunity to interview with the CG, the first thing I kind of told him, I was like, hey, sir, I may not be the right person for this job. Because outside of going to, professional military education, I hadn't spent a ton of time in TRADOC. So I spent the vast majority of my time in the operational force. But it was that he actually brought me into the fold and said, I just need you to bring that flavor of what you're doing and what you've lived in the operational force and really integrate the generating and the operational force. And as I like to say to folks, they actually kind of think I'm kidding. I'm actually still in phase one of my IRC. Now, SMA, I don't know if you know what that acronym means.
Whip it on me.
Today. It is an ignorance reduction campaign. Straight up is a massive enterprise. And I'll tell you, I've been in the seat now for about 18 months. And I'm still in phase one, but I wouldn't ask for any place to be. There's never been a better motto when it comes to victory starts here that describes the power of what TRADOC does for its Army. Now, personally, I'm an Oklahoma boy. I grew up in Oklahoma, born in California. Clearly got a little confused there. I've been married 25 years, and we have two beautiful children, a 17-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son. So I'm happy to be here with you today.
Well, God bless you. I think it's really important to get somebody from the operational units into TRADOC because I always worry that because if you've got people that just stay in TRADOC all their military career, they don't see what the Army does. So I think bringing guys like yourself in there is really good. The other thing I was going to tell you a little bit is my goal in the Army when I first got in the Army was to be a Spec 4 in the Army. That was my goal I wanted to achieve. So I did a little bit better than that, but obviously you guys are doing great. Sir, can you explain TRADOC does and how it operationalized the Army's training strategy, recruits, training, educate, and develops, the best soldiers of the Army. I mean, we have the best Army in the world. I think we're number three in the Army, but we have the best soldiers in this country. There's no question about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So our job is our soldiers and civilians and our leaders now, their job is to recruit, train, educate, develop, and transform the Army. That's what TRADOC does for a living. Our job is to ensure that the Army can deter, fight, and win on any battlefield or against any natural disaster or any kind of homeland threat now and into the future. Bottom line, that's what job one. Mike Garrett, my great friend from TRADOC, who had been buddies for now almost 30 years, Mike Garrett will tell you our number one, and I agree with this wholeheartedly, our job is to fight and win our nation's wars. And my job is to make sure that our soldiers are ready to get into the training business that he does to operationalize the force and take it forward. Our goal together now in this three-year period that we've been in here is to revolutionize TRADOC. So we've taken a total whole person approach to attacking the status quo. Because in the force of the future, in 2030 and beyond, we're going to have to be able to aggregate, disaggregate, move, shape. We're going to have the stamina, the holistic health and fitness to actually operate at extended scales with extended stamina, with, in fact, the precision of the force we have today. What will be paramount now and into the forever future is we have to understand that the Army is a people business. This is about how we not only train and educate, but how we take care of the families and educate the force and give them the absolute best we can in order to survive and win on the battlefield. Number one thing we can do for them is train them right. Number two thing we can do for them is take care of their families. That's what we get paid to do.
Yeah. You know, I tell people all the time, there's no second best in our profession. You either win or lose.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah, you know, the other thing I think you do too in TRADOC, you know, you probably don't know my background, but I wasn't the best kid in the world. I was probably a pretty crappy little kid, but the Army changed my life and it saved my life. Yeah. I always thought that by the time I was 25, I'd be dead or in jail or something. And that's years ago now. I'm a lot better now. But the thing about that is that it made me who I am today.
Yeah.
All success I had in life, God, my wife, and the Army. And I've sort of moved those numbers around every once in a while, but it really allowed me to grow and develop. And that's why I really like the fact about TRADOC. So the audience that's listening today, it's just not about coming in the Army and doing those things. It is about that. There's no question about that. The other thing, you get a better person, a better young adult that goes out in our society and does all those great things for our community. So I'm just proud of the Army and proud of what they do each and every day. And I wish people would see the Army a little bit more each day. Go ahead, sir.
People see it as the number one option, not the last option, but the number one option. Because frankly, if you're a soldier for life, if you go into that mindset, you know, of course, I was born into it. I was born at Fort Hood, Texas.
Yeah.
And so I don't know anything else. But so I've been in this about 60 years now.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that there aren't any other people more dedicated to the nation and to each other than our great Army.
Well, the other neat thing about this, Sergeant Major, I got a question for you. This is a great discussion, right? The other thing about that is you're a soldier for life, but you're a friend for life. If I call you 20 years from the day and say, sir, I need you're there for me.
Yes.
And it's like, I mean, I get people I haven't talked to in 30 years, and they'll call me. It's like I talked to them yesterday.
Yeah,
and
you just pick up the conversation right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah. But it's there's a special bond with anybody that serves in the military. So
yeah, it's one of the things I want us to reconnect since you're talking to the veterans population.
Yeah, yeah.
You hit the Soldier for Life program, but I want us to remember our associations.
Yeah.
And here's why. Frankly, you know, with the multiple deployments and the all-volunteer force now, all the multiple deployments and with different units, people sometimes lose the unit identity of where they should be where they should be going back to.
Yeah.
For example, I've deployed 6 times. And in that case, I can go all the way back to the 3rd Armored Division, or I can go to 3rd Corps.
Yeah.
But, you know, so people kind of forget where they fit. What I would tell you is fit where you want to fit, but just be part of the solution. Get back into your associate. Reconnect with your buddies that you went on those campaigns with, and really focus on the relationships together.
Yeah. The other neat thing is that just like you two, I mean, you're like this, you know, you're a team, you know, you joke and do everything, but when it comes down to it, you're going to get the job done, do the best job you can. There's no question about that. Again, for you people that listen out there, if you're not pumped up already, something's wrong with you. Hey, Sergeant Major, what keeps you up at night? I mean, anything?
I
screwed up here a little bit. You want to add anything? Me and General Funk was talking about for a second. You want to add it? Because I know you're listening there. Well, so
I'll start off with the thing that keeps me up at night is probably General Funk's golf game.
Because he gets whipped all the time. We talk
about integrity, and I don't know how much. I'm just kidding.
Is he a good golfer?
He's better than him. That's all that matters.
Don't make me admit that on the show.
All right, good. Don't tell a lie now.
He's pretty solid. But what I'll tell you, and just to get a little serious on this point, because it ties into two of the things you said. One was, you know, the second piece. This is a people's business and our connection. You know, TRADOC is that first handshake with America, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We are talking to the sons and daughters of America, and we got to get out there and talk to the parents. And it is bringing that individual in off the street, as you described, probably not unlike when I came in as well. And then we have responsibilities there. And so we have gone through the last year and a half, you know, some struggles under some unique social change, everything from George Floyd to Vanessa Guillen, our armies. We looked internal. So one of the first things the boss had me do, and this really gets at to what keeps you up at night, was taking a hard look at what does people first mean within TRADOC. And so it wasn't some issue that was on the other side of the country. We took a hard look, and what we found out is that what senior mission commanders and sergeant majors thought was going on within their formations, when you got down to that company and platoon level, there was some significant gaps. And so we spent the last year and a half first, kind of helping senior mission command understand their gaps. Two, helping them create those indirect feedback loops. And you know as well as I do, this is why we have non-commissioned officers. We have a key role here to be candid, to be honest, to not be worried about telling the GO, hey, this is what's really going on in your formation. And so we found that we had struggles within our drill sergeant population. We found that we had struggles within our recruiters. And we really have slowly started changing that over time. So when we look at kind of what keeps you up at night, it's the second part of this. And it's the effort that we got after of we found out that we were actually right off the bat disconnecting our young recruits as they were coming in, because we had our drill sergeants just screaming and yelling and frothing at the mouth. You know, that is not somebody that you're going to be like, hey, if I have an issue, that's not the person I'm going to go talk to.
Right.
And so we really switched it and went to, we're going to focus on trust and we're going to focus on competence. You know, within the 11 series ride down at OSID, one station unit training, we really went after this thing called the first 100 yards. And it is that drill sergeant coming on the bus, telling everybody on the bus, follow me, right? And he leads from the front, and it builds a cohesive team. And don't kid yourself. This is not an easier, softer army. You know, we've had everybody go down and look at it. It is all about working through problems under physical duress, under arduous conditions. But you do it as a team, so it builds that continuity that they, right off the bat, who do they start to look to as the person that is kind of leading them? And it is that staff sergeant. It's that sergeant first class. It is that drill sergeant that really sets the tone. And we've done it through
all of our OSITs, and we've also done what we call the Forge, and I'll let the boss kind of hit on that, and basic training. But it really has, right off the bat, changed conditions to help move the Army in the right direction.
Yeah, you hit a lot of great points. One is that you have to change with the times. You know, when I came in the Army, the Army had, I'm talking my age here, we had an M14. When I left the Army, they had an AR. So you have to continue to develop and change with the time. Yes. And the way that you communicate with soldiers and service members and young adults changes too. And if you don't change, things are just good way. And you hit a lot of great points. The other thing is, and I think I did a pretty good job at this, is that I always tried to get down into the bowels of the service and talk to soldiers at the bottom level. Now, because you always want to hear from me. I think social media has really hampered us a little bit because people don't talk to us as much as they used to. They don't communicate as well. And so they're so busy on that damn little iPhone texting that they don't look people in the eye. But those are a lot of great points, Sergeant Major. I appreciate it. Sir, what's the number one priority and trade-off?
Acquire the best people and train them right. That's it. Acquire the best people. That we want the Army to be the number one choice for our young men and women. You know, the Sergeant Major hit two things. First thing was trust, right? We want to build trust so that you trust your. Why is trust so important? Because he hit this too. We are actually privileged to lead America's most precious treasure, its sons and daughters. So if that is in fact the case, then we must start building trust right away. So we got to acquire the right people, and we got to give them a chance to see excellence, to actually perform at a higher level, to focus on them, on not just on themselves, but to set standards and goals for themselves so that they can achieve more. In that regard, we're finding that these young men, this generation, is answering the call. When we get them, when they come to us, they'll answer their call. They will lead. Now, we need them to come in more of them, right? So we're not going to fool around here. We need some help in the recruiting. We need the veteran population to help us recruiting, tell their Army story. That's what we need them to do. So because I've got a friend named Jason Dorsey who's written several books. One of them is called The Z Generation, or Z-Economy. I'm sorry. Z-Economy is what it's called. And he talks about this group. They're as patriotic as the next group. However, you know, they believe in some things, and if you're meeting their standards, Sergeant Major talked about some of our struggles. So if you're meeting their standards, they'll come to us. So that's what we're trying to do. How are we changing the culture for the next generation, the next millennium? We're the stewards of that, right? We're the gateway to the Army. That's what TRADOC is. You name the post. That's what we do. We're the gateway of the Army. So we have to be ready to acquire the best people and then train them right.
Yeah. Sergeant Major, same question for you. What's the number one priority for you as a Sergeant Major, a TRADOC Sergeant Major?
So if you don't mind, SMA, what I really like to do is kind of dovetail into what the CG just talked about.
Yeah.
And it is. It's the generation coming in today. And you can easily make a mistake and put some adjectives on what you think about this next generation. But what you find out is you're wrong, and you're very wrong. And I'll give you two examples of what I mean. So when I go talk to recruits, folks that are in the Future Soldier Program, they've raised their hand, they have committed to coming to the Army, and I'll go do PT with them, and it's great. Just fresh, they're ready to come in, they're excited. And I say, okay, well, what questions you got? We just done PT together. SMA, one question. 100% of the time, they only have one question. What do you think it is?
How much money do I get?
No.
What is it?
Sergeant Major, are you really going to take my phone from me during basic training?
True story. You're joking. Yeah.
Now, why do I bring
that
up?
True story.
And it's very easy to kind of just go. Like in our world, we look at that completely as like, are you kidding me? But then you got to realize with these kids, when you talk to Jason Dorsey, he's like, hey, look, since they were single digits, 6, 7, 8 years old, that device is a part of them.
It's an appendage.
It is connected to them more than we understand or fully give it credit.
Yeah, we see it as a leash. They see it as an appendage.
Like it's just, it's fascinating kind of understanding that. And as we go through it, and this is what we got to help drill sergeant. So if you're a drill sergeant, and what do they call it? They call it, they got a name for it for Monday. So every Sunday, we give them 30 minutes on their phone so they can call home, talk to families. Yeah, yeah. Right. And because it's a powerful connective, we want to incentivize that, right? Not destroy them. And then right off the bat, because it's almost like an addiction, like you're going to go cold turkey day one and not let them be on that phone. You could do that. Or when they get an opportunity to talk on that phone, this is when they get in small increments, they get something that's coming up back home. Right. And so what we're finding out, the drill sergeant never sees it. But as we transition from, you know, basic or OSINT to your first duty station, that if you kept the phone from them, that's when all the bad news hits them in that transition where nobody knows them. And so what we were realizing, because they're in that transition gap and they're moving from TRADOC to their first operational unit, bad things will happen. And so if we gave them a weekly touch point, even if it was 15 to 30 minutes a week, the drill sergeants were able to deal with those issues in a timely manner before it manifested itself into something that turned out horrific, either for somebody's family member or that soldier just became overwhelmed. And so it's initially I was very suspect that the boss let them keep those phones. But I would tell you, when you go down and you see the impact it has, you understand, well, that was actually a really smart way to go about it. I got to capture that. Right there. Make sure we got that thought right there. He actually said I did something smart for a change.
Well, that's he never says that too often.
He never says that, though. So, you know.
Hey, so if you, both of you now, if you was king for the day, and you are kings for the day, what's the number one thing that you would change in TRADOC, maybe even in the Army? Is there anything, one thing that you'd make better? That's not one of the questions you're going to talk about, but you make me just one thing there. I mean, whether or not it's soldiers coming in or it's getting families involved, or
I think the number one thing I would change is the permeability of service. I think you should be able to serve over a continuum of a career, and I think this 20-year model that's back in the old days when people died when they were 50, right? So people are living to 80, and people are much fitter than they used to be. So now what? Now we got all this time. That's how, look at yourself, and you're still serving, right? This
absolutely
is what your service is.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you think about that and you think about, okay, at the time and place where I'd want to, say we want to be younger generation, you come in for your initial training, your initial kick 5 years, and then you go to the Guard. And then, but once you go to raise a family, you buy a house, you get settled, you grow up, you maybe put a little wealth in the bank, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you come back in and you do another stint for a missions type thing on active duty for a time or period. But that permeates throughout. And so you don't look at it as Guard, Reserve, and active force, because now we still got these three stovepipes, right? It would be all blended in one and be Army. And when, how you choose and when and why and where you are in your circumstance would be how you would serve.
Yeah.
That's probably what we're trying to do that. That's what we want to do for the future.
Yeah, I think we put, I agree with you 100%. I got out and I had 36 years in the service, and I probably was at the tip of my career, end of my career. But I think I still had a few more years in there, and I think I probably could have helped in some capacity. But I do think, I agree with you, when I think that there's people that get out with 20 or 25 or even 30 that have so much to offer the military, and we trained them for so many years, but we don't use it anymore. And that's a shame. That's a shame.
I want us to connect back to our veterans population so much more than we're doing now. And we're working through that. And you mentioned lawyers before. We need the lawyers to kind of broaden their approach to some of this.
Well, the other thing, too, is I think, and I was talking, I went up to the Veterans Museum up in Cleveland, Ohio the other day and talked to a group of Vietnam veterans. And I talked about all of us have scars, and some scars you can't see. All of us have issues, and you don't even know the issues that you have. Even while you're on active duty, I think you sort of bottle them up a little bit. But I think as you get a little bit older, I think they start to come out. And they, you know, you start thinking about things that you haven't thought about in a lot of years, or even things that that emotionally that you really don't understand, I guess. That's right. Sort of what, I looked at, I can't remember the actual number. It was over 50,000 or 58,000. 58,287, I think the number, 81, one or the other, that was killed in Vietnam.
Right.
And the people that were wounded in Vietnam, and it was a much larger number. It was over 300,000, I think it was. But the people that came back from Vietnam that was scarred and had post-traumatic stress and all this other stuff, that we really sort of let them down. But so we got to do more to connect with our veteran right. community, yeah, as much as we can. Sergeant Major, same thing. King for a day, what would you do? You are the king. There's no question.
King for a day, one, I would ask you to muzzle the CG a bit because I barely get enough time to talk.
Wait a minute, you guys, you got to be nice to him. He's on the front. Okay.
I'm just kidding. Really, there's one, and it is, and I've seen the power of it, and I'm a believer, and when it's time for me to hang up my spurs on this end, like, this is the thing that I'm excited about. If I was king for a day, I would have JROTC in every high school or technical school in the United States.
Yeah.
And not because it is
I'm with you.
A recruiting tool. It's not that at all. A couple of things you hit on, like America doesn't know its army. When we go out with our groups, and I'll take five young, I just did it. I just went down to Houston. We call it Meet Your Army. You know, I go down kind of like you, I kind of get the crowd soften up a bit, but it's really just to have these five kids talk about their military experience. And I'll tell you, SMA, they don't have to be the greatest speakers. All they do is get up there and they're genuine. And they say, hey, here's what I do. You know, I get up at 6:30 and I go do physical fitness, and they pay me to do PT. He goes, I would be doing that anyway. And they will just go into their story, and you will watch folks in the crowd. They don't want to come talk to me. They want to come talk to these kids that have been in the Army, because all they get is, you know, misinformation or disinformation. You hit it. You talked about social media, right? And there's a space there where the military is not really there. Right. And then the folks that are in that space are not the biggest fans of the military. And so when we look at JROTC, there is a thirst for understanding what the military does. It's a great citizenship program. And then the thing that you really get to see up close and personal, opportunities and options post high school. And that's where they really get to see the benefits of what these programs are actually doing for U.S.
Yeah,
I think the product of Junior ROTC at Fort Knox High School.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I wanted the other things too. Again, we talked about already at the beginning there, is not many people see the active duty Army, and they don't see the kind of things that we do. And I'm going to talk about myself here. I love talking about myself anyway, but any successes I had in life is because of the Army. You know, I'm a small business owner, own a couple of companies, I have a foundation. And just a lot of things. And oh, by the way, I don't have a bill. But the Army allowed me to be successful in life. What's that now?
I'll send you a couple of bills.
No, I don't want no bills. I don't want to. My wife does a good job at that stuff like that. Hey, we're talking. If you're not getting motivated, something's wrong with you guys that are listening out there today. Something is definitely wrong, because we have the best Army in the world. We have the best soldiers and service members, family members, and everything in the world. So if you're not thinking about it, go talk to a recruiter. Sit down and talk to somebody. Tell a veteran thank you. I love all that stuff, but do what you can. We live in the best country in the world, and we just got to do more for our country and our service members each and every day. We're talking with General Paul Funk, Commanding General at Tredoc, and also Sergeant Major Daniel T. Hendricks. I don't want to mess that up. This Command Sergeant Major. United States Army Training and Doctrine Command. And I tell you, I am so pumped. And if you're listening to me, you've got to be pumped up too. And you're listening to Your Next Mission. Think about that for a second. It's your next mission to figure out what the Army's doing and join the Army, doggone it. I'm so upset right now. We need more of those great people out there. Again, you're listening to Your Next Mission podcast with me, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. And again, I want to tell you, I'm a soldier. I'll always be a soldier. I'll be a soldier till the day I die. And don't forget that. It's about loyalty. It's about our country. It's about God. It's about doing what's right for our country each and every day. And that's what our American warriors are doing for us. They're allowing you to be free. I tell people all the time, when I raised my hand up and I said, I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States. Do you know what that means? That means I'm willing to die for your freedom, for your freedom. So don't forget that. It's about our country, and it's about what we do each and every day. And don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, and my golly, if you're not, something's wrong with you, please click on that subscribe button below, because I want to have about 200,000 or 300,000 or a million veterans follow us. Together, we can make a difference in the country. So, sir, let's continue on the discussion. I don't know. You got me so pumped up. I don't know if I can sit down any damn more.
That's right.
What are
I'm doing the ACF. That's right.
What are you doing with recruiting? Acquiring people and the number that's the number one priority. Yeah. You go ahead, sir.
I'm glad you asked that question, because I think the all-volunteer force is at some risk.
Okay. Oh, is that right? You think so?
Yeah, I do. Here's why. Less than 0.04% of the nation serves in uniform. 0.04. Yeah. 82% of the current service members, kids that are joining, 82% of them have a relative that served in one of the services already.
Yeah.
So the population's dwindling. Those being exposed, those who have served, is getting smaller. And so only 23% of the nation even qualifies to serve in uniform primarily because of two things: addiction and obesity. Those are the top two things that we're trying to combat. There are some ways to do that through some programs and things that we got to work our way through. Then if you top that on, only 20% of the young men and women today play any kind of organized sport after the age of 13, 14. That's a problem. Why is that a problem? Because actually, from a physical standpoint, we're a bit, our bone density and things like that nature is much more fragile than it used to be. So then when I do get them into basic combat training, or when we get them in there and our great drill sergeants start walking them through their paces, what happens is they start breaking down, and they break down really early. It's why we had to change, as the sergeant major said, we had to go to Army training camp. We had to teach them how to run. Teach them how to eat. Teach them why sleep is so important. Well, work on nutrition. Find a spiritual thing. Find that thing that centers them when things are tough. That's that spiritual need they have. And then that's what we call our holistic health and fitness. So if you think about all those numbers, and if you consider that 14 million kids in America today are overweight or obese, we've got a national level, a national security problem that we need to deal with. We can do it. There's multiple ways to do it. One of them's through perhaps physical fitness, and junior ROTC could be one of them. So we could advocate, that would be one idea. But there are a variety of things we could be doing in order to harden our people. Because let's face it, this next generation's got to lead, and they got to be ready to take on the nation's load. And we can't be fragile or frail. We got to be ready for that in all aspects of what I described: physical, mental, spiritual, nutrition, and sleep. We got to be good at those things. The sergeant major has been a little quiet about this, but frankly, when he came in here, we were retreating about 10, almost 11% of the people we recruited. We were retreating them in basic training because of those problems I talked about breaking down almost instantaneously. We changed the dynamic through this first 100 yards and out at Fort Leonard Woods, it's into the breach, right? It goes to where you're going to fit on the battlefield in the future. And so we had to change that. So we worked with some NFL teams and a good friend of mine named Dan Quinn, and we were able to change the dynamic in this. And now our attrition is down from 11% to about 5%.
Oh, wow.
That's a huge change.
It is huge. Yeah, yeah.
So, and that's because of the great work of our drill sergeants, our NCOs, our recruiters, the young captains and battalion commanders making this happen all over the place.
Yes, okay, ma'am. Sergeant Major, let me ask you, I just made me think of something. What kind of things do we, every time I go around, people want to sponsor stuff. Does the Army now trade off recruiting? I knew we do a lot of stuff. We go out and visit, but do we like sponsor a baseball team or sponsor a soccer team? Because we probably ought to think about stuff like that, because I think that's another way to sort of get into the community.
Yeah, here's who we're considering working through sponsorship way. All the programs, USA blank, right? USA football, USA baseball, basketball. Yeah, a great program for some of the kids is going to be the for example, the first tee program. Yeah. Ed Daly and the MWR folks are working, Ed Daly, the AMC commander, they're working on these programs, right? We want to revolutionize, I use that word again, because we need to. We need to shake it up and actually get it moving. We're trying to do the whole youth services organization, you remember, you know, youth sports.
Yeah.
Kinds of things. Because the Army is always led in social change, always led in change, right? Mm-hmm. We've always kind of led the nation. This is another way we can do that through partnerships with these organizations at Echelon.
Yeah, I think we missed the bullet, and the Army misses the bullet because there's a lot of guys like me that says, "Hey, look, tell me what I can do to help you out," and you never come to me.
I come
to you. I want to come to you and help you, but you got to figure out. And I thought about me and Ted and the guys we work with in the foundation. We sponsor a lot of stuff, and that's about visibility, about knowing the unit, knowing the organization. Right. That's what you want to do. Sergeant Major, I didn't mean to cut you off, but don't
worry. But when the boss was talking about that attrition rate, there was another thing that, you know, I don't think we really understood it until it kind of hit us, right? With COVID, you know, everything, the world seemed to come to a halt. Matter of fact, I was downrange when COVID hit. I was with CJTFOIR, right? We just had the 13 ballistic missiles come into Al-Assad, and it seemed like we were teetering on the edge of a huge fight potentially with Iran. COVID kind of locked everything down, and it took me almost 2 months to get back. And so, as I got to TRADOC and I transitioned, what we realized is TRADOC actually never stopped, right? Because you have to bring folks in. You got to bring in young soldiers. And so I didn't know if you wanted to hit, you know, what we did in those first 2 weeks that we did because you had to, and it was keeping soldiers in these small pods because you didn't want to migrate the issue associated with COVID. And then what were they doing in that 2 week window? And it was what we really needed to do with the population of soldiers coming in today. We were all about hitting the ground running, getting off the bus and taking off, and we were breaking soldiers.
Yeah, bad.
Yep. And so that 2 week change dropped our attrition dramatically.
Think about how you come into a professional league, right? So there's a playbook. So we have that, right? 350-6. Okay, so there's a playbook. There's how you dress if you're going to be on when you move on the bus when you go to games, right? There's how we practice. There's how we eat. There's how all that stuff exists at the professional level. Our job, raise professional soldiers. So why would we not take that kind of our approach? So we first 2 weeks, it's about culture. This is how we act in our organization. This is how we respond. This is how. These are the people that we talk to and interact with. This is how we treat ourselves. This is what is expected of you. Yeah, we start talking about values. These are the values of our organization. Loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. We start inculcating those right away. Why? Because that's what our nation needs us to do. That's what they want us to do as we move into the next phase. You have to get the fundamentals right before you can move to the next phase. So we teach what a profession means.
Yeah, it's all about the basic fundamentals of just being a good soldier. Sergeant Major, what about getting the best talent in the Army? I mean, we want to get the best talent recruiting civilian talent. That's got to be a little bit tough recruiting that civilian talent, I guess.
So the civilian talent, I would tell you, you really get a much better sense of it in TRADOC. And I'll just pick a couple of vignettes. The one that I have personally seen that I never would have expected to have the impact it had is our civilian interns, right? So we have a great program both with high school and college where we reach out to those colleges and high schools and we bring them on in the summer. And then we also have paid internship programs. And so you talk about getting the youth of America brought in, not only on the active duty side, but we're also bringing them in on the civilian side. And so as we look up in TRADOC, matter of fact, you just think all this, what we're doing right now happens. I would tell you there are about five or six interns behind setting this up, making it happen, going through the prep,
It's just an incredible program that I have personally been the benefactor of since I've been here for about a year and a half.
Exactly right. We want to operate in the information space, right? That's where we got to go. We got to be where those young men and women are, right, to recruit them. Who do we recruit? People from their generation, right? They're the ones that talk to them. They understand where they're at, where they're going. That's what we have to be able to do. And so this internship I'm most proud of is because we're taking some that have post-master's degrees and some that are in high school, and they're learning about our Army. And so they're talking to their group of peers and friends all over the place. They're saying, hey, these are great opportunities. You can serve. This is another way you can serve. I personally believe, this is Paul Funk, I believe we all owe something back to this nation.
Absolutely.
And you can serve in a variety of different ways. My son taught in inner city Dallas for 3 years, my oldest. He was in a program called Teach for America. And he got back, you know, he was number one student out of his university and all that business. And that's how he gave back. So we can do this in a variety of ways, and service takes on many forms and shapes. We talked about you're serving now by giving us a platform to be able to talk. And we get these great interns who come in who want to check it out, right? See how it goes. And I think we all leave better for that process.
Yeah. I think every American ought to get back every day, give something back, no matter what it is. I mean, you ought to give... Yeah, you ought to do something. There's so many people that complain about a country, but that's all they do is complain. That's their platform to complain.
I see your big bag or box of books there sitting on your store.
I just happen to have one right here. No, go ahead.
I would add another one to your list. A guy named Graham Henry, there's a book called Legacy.
Yeah.
And in that book, he says, and this is one of my favorite things, it's number 40 on the list of 40 fundamentals. But number 40 is leave your jersey in a better place every day, right? We wear the jersey of the greatest team ever assembled on earth, the United States Army. Yeah. This jersey, the uniform we wear, and you need to leave it in a better place every day.
You know, one of the things I think I did, and I used to, you know, as you look back, you hope you left it in a better place. And I tried real hard, because and I'm really proud of this. I still get... emails and texts from people I served with 40 years ago, and said, even people now still on active duty said, Sergeant Major, you mind if I talk to you for a second? And I said, I'd love it.
Yeah.
Hey, tell me real quick here. How did COVID, sir, we're going to ask you this real quick. How did COVID affect training?
Here's what it did. It caused us to focus on what we could do and how we could distribute it and how we could learn. It made us change courses that would have taken us 10 years. It would have taken us a generation.
Yeah.
We changed in probably 14 months because we had to. We still had to deliver. We have to bring that soldier in, right? So we paused for 2 weeks. COVID hits us. We paused for 2 weeks to set the medical conditions. And it really was the medical conditions outside of our camps, posts, and stations, because I don't have a lot of hospitals in TRADOC, right? So most of mine are off post. So we had to set those medical conditions to make sure we could operate in the environment. That's what we do. We're the Army. We do hard things. So we learned how to operate in this environment. And then guess who came to learn from us? All the major sports leagues. Because we were the first ones to kind of figure out this bubble thing, right? And so we would bring kids in, put them into this Army training camp, the first 2 weeks of basic training. They all had to be quarantined anyway, right? So we would put them in teams and pods, and we would move them through the training space that way. That was done by some incredible minds down at Fort Jackson and out at Fort Sill and at Fort Benning and Fort Leonard Wood. And once we got them in there, we then had to secure the transportation. So then we had to sanitize the transportation and move them in these pods so that we wouldn't contaminate the training environment. So while we had, why it could have unnerved us, we could have stopped. We paused for 2 weeks, and that was it. We chained the whole load we needed in 19, 20, and 21 fighting COVID.
My goodness. Sergeant Major, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, so the other piece that we did in PME, Professional Military Education, was ALC and SLC, so Advanced Leaders Course in... those two courses basically prepping you to be a staff sergeant and a sergeant first class. What we realized is, hey, we We use this thing called Teams. We can do things online. And so we said, hey, if we're going to take you away from your family, that it has to be critical for that face-to-face engagement. And so for across all MOSs, what that allowed us to do is kind of go through, rescrub that. We were able to take out about a week that we could do, almost like we're doing right now. So you have an engagement with a live instructor, but you do it from your home base for a week. So that way we're not taking you away from your family for a week. And that allowed us to invest, reinvest the millions of dollars. So when you do come to that course, that it is focused on those things are critical to making you and getting you prepared for your next level.
We did the same thing on the officer side because we had to make sure that if I were to, you know, I mean, look, I've been in the Army now that I've deployed six times. And so it's got to be critical that we're going to take you away from your family in order to train you. So it ought to change your life and how we're doing it. So that's the requirement we put on the centers and schools. And they're responding to that. They're getting so much better. And we can deliver some more things more effectively. I can pop into a classroom anywhere now in the country. I can pop into an ROTC classroom, or I can pop into one of our classrooms and make an impact, I would hope. At least they get a chance to be exposed to an Army senior leader or something of that nature. That's the power of that thing. We got to harness it for the good.
Yeah. That's really the key, because if people see you, they trust you and they listen to what you have to say. But if you don't get out and you don't see your soldiers, they lose that confidence and trust out of you. If the people that are listening today, here's two men that care so much about our country, that only want to make our country better. And if you want to serve in the military and you want to make our country better, you want to do something instead of maybe sitting on the couch and watching TV or whatever the heck you're doing. Let's do something. Let's make a change. Get out of, I talk all the time about the circle of life. You know, sometimes people stand in the middle of a circle and never move the rest of their life. If you want to make a difference, take a step forward. And when you take that step forward, take a step right into the United States Army, because they will make you a better person for the rest of your life, just like they did for me. There's no question about that. Let's take a quick break. I know you're loving this because I certainly am, and we'll be right back.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by the Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at navyfederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at purdueglobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for five straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at veteransunited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. I'm the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley, and we're blessed to be here today with General Paul Funk, Commanding General. That's a four-star general for you people that don't understand that. Command Sergeant Major Daniel T. Hendricks, and that's just like a four-star. Command Sergeant Major, United States Army Training and Doctrine Command. And I want all of our listeners to reach out to me directly. Tell us tell us about your transition. Tell us what topics you'd like me to cover on this podcast, because it's not my show, it's your show. We're one team, one fight, all for the rest of our lives. We're going to stay together as a team, just like in the military, no matter what service you're in. I'm an Army guy, but all services fall under me. That's for doggone sure. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll reach out to you. Or you can send me an email at SMATilly@yournextmission.org, and I'll actually contact you back. Most people won't reach back, but I'll call you, I'll text you, but I'll communicate to you. Remember, it's about making our country better each and every day. It's about the lives of our country. It's about the people that live in the country that love this country so much, and that's why we're talking to these two fine gentlemen today. Sir, we're heading into our final subject with you today, and I hope you really both have enjoyed this as much as I have. I mean, I'm just sort of hovering over the top of my chair. I just have a couple more questions for you. Sir, how has TRADOC changed in training, and what did you learn from, operating in COVID? And I think you already talked about that a little bit, but maybe elaborate a little bit more.
Yeah, I talked a little bit about how we did at basic combat training, but we are in COVID, we had to change the way we recruit too, right? So we had to look at the whole process because obviously we weren't going to high schools because there was nobody going to school. So we had to get into the digital age much faster. So our great recruiters started building teams to connect. So they would pool their best operators in the internet and they would become engagement teams to reach out and start to get leads. So we had to change that whole program. Also, we had to develop, we're looking for more diversity in our officer corps and in our NCO corps, but you get it in the officer corps through ROTC, through USMA, West Point, and the OCS. So what do we wanted to do? We needed to recruit into the combat arms specifically more minorities. We really do. And so we put in the Patton program and the Cavazos program. The Patton program focused on African-American youth to serve in the combat arms. Those two programs have changed how we're recruiting for the officer population. The Cavazos program, named after Dick Cavazos, just a world-class first Hispanic four-star general in the Army.
It's funny. I knew him.
Me too. So what we've been able to do in that case is put a program called Project Sword, and those programs fall underneath them, to recruit minority officers into the combat arms force so that they can help lead into the next generation. We're going to need that, right? The populations are growing, the diversity of our country is changing, and we got to grow with it and change with it. And so I'm happy to say that those two programs are helping us get on the right footing as we move to diversify the force.
Well, so let me ask you a question about recruiting. What about in the major large communities like, Chicago, New York, and all of the other? How are we doing recruiting in those locations?
Absolutely. The number one recruiting battalion in the country is the New York recruiting battalion, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which was never the case until we got some great leaders up there, and they've made a remarkable. So we've been focused. We had to focus 22 cities. We went to the major metropolitan areas. Houston, Dallas, you name it, across the country, Los Angeles. Out there, what we're trying to do is people to recognize just how much service to the nation matters, just what it means, what opportunity your Army provides for you, everything from scholarships to enlistment bonuses to career skills, certification in professional skills after you get out of the military, not to mention all the other benefits of medical, dental, et cetera, et cetera. Those opportunities are remarkable, but they're only as good as the influencers in the nation can help bring those folks to us. Yeah. Well, that's why we believe the Army should be your first choice, not your last.
Well, that's the other thing that you really hit on that I love right there. When you come in the Army, let's say you have a high school diploma, a lot of people, a couple of years, you get an associate's degree, and then you get a bachelor's degree, because we're really focused on education. Maybe Sergeant Major, you're going to talk about that. Sergeant Major, real quick, I'm going to ask you about PT in a second, but what about recruitment as far as education? How do we develop soldiers when they come in the Army as far as getting more education, I guess, for them now?
Yeah, so you hit one of our biggest incentives as we talk about folks coming in the Army. And it really is that educational framework. Depending on where you're coming in at, there is a ton of opportunity. And again, it goes back to what we were talking about before. When you go out and you meet folks today, whether it's in Houston, whether it's in Chicago, name your city, there's just this lack of understanding of what's going on. And so as part of this question, what I think we've really kind of refocused on is a couple of things. And it's what we call the information environment, information advantage, or command information. So that has changed significantly. Matter of fact, I think it's changed even in the last 3 to 4 years since we've kind of been at TRADOC.
Absolutely.
And what I mean by that is the space that we readily call social media, right? And so there's a whole host of things here that we are dramatically changing when you come to education. So one, We need to understand this is the new way to communicate. And so how does that play out when you're coming in as a young soldier? And I'll pick one of the programs. It actually started from a spouse, right?
Yep.
And it's called Inside the Wire, right? It came from when you deploy, you know, you're protected with your unit inside the wire. What she basically did was took a data scientist perspective, brilliant woman. She's the spouse of battalion commander in one of our basic training battalions. And basically through Facebook, created a program that put out two or three key pieces of information as soon as you got there. So brand new recruit gets off the bus. Remember that phone I told you about? Yep. They take that phone and they go, hey, you know, Private Tilly, you're going over there. See that wall? There's your QR code. Take a photo of it. Takes you to your unit. And it starts getting you connected. And the first thing they show them is like, send this to your mom, send this to your dad, send it to your spouse, your loved one, whoever that is for you, and give them the QR code as well as get them the access to the information. And it literally starts that handshake of building trust with America. And it's just incredible the impacts that's had. It is four separate times they've had issues where soldiers were struggling and a mom or dad called the drill sergeant or called that battalion commander and said, hey, we think there's something going on. And they were able to kind of intervene and reach out and give them help. And so it's been an incredible program that we put in place. And now we're implementing not only across TRADOC, they've actually, I just saw the orders yesterday. So if you're Private Tilly and you're going to Alaska, your orders has a QR code that does that now as you transition. So if you remember what General Funk talked about, it's those transitions where we really got to make sure we're paying attention to our soldiers.
No, that's part of it. In fact, I got the little QR code on my iPhone that I click, and you got to look at my menu when I go to a restaurant or something
like
that.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Yeah,
one of the things you both made me think about, marketing strategy.
Yes.
I know the Army has a tremendous marketing strategy, but again, I said that at the beginning, is sometimes I think we talk to each other, we don't talk out enough. So developing a marketing strategy and stay ahead of change. I can't remember the General Kukulo. Remember him? The public affairs. He gave a great speech one time. He says the Army has a good idea. They talk about it. Then it's outdated. You know, we got to move faster in that process. Yeah. So that's for sure. Sergeant Major, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Well, that's why QR codes, iPhones. How are we going to move the information? What's information advantage look like? That's why we've developed a social media guide on how to operate in this space, because he's been the leader on this. Sergeant Major has.
Well, I will tell you, SMA. So we started off just like you described. And we were going to do a social media guide, so we're going to publish it, and then those great interns we told you about, they looked at us and they're like, "Sergeant Major,
it's
not you publish this." It's going to be outdated. Yeah. And so we realized pretty rapidly, hey, we got to switch it to an interactive social media guide. And very rapidly, by using the youth of not only our interns, but, you know, privates that are down there in the 128th and our Aviation Center of Excellence, really gave us some great feedback. And now we have an interactive social media guide, because what you need to know as a senior leader is dramatically different from what a private needs to know. And at Echelon, we're really helping them understand what that means for them.
Yeah, yeah. It's really funny, because I've thought about this for years. I thought about, you got to be honest about it. Sometimes you get people at the top that are stagnated and they really don't understand exactly what's going on at the bottom. And I think I've been pretty good about that. And I told you before about reaching down to the bowels and figuring out what's going on, because I engage with people and I like talking to people. So, Sergeant Major, tell me about that new PT test they have now.
Yes.
I've maxed the test forever.
The ACFT.
I maxed the PT test forever, but I don't even think I could qualify for this, and tell me about it.
Well, yes, you could. You absolutely could. And I say that because, one, this thing's been on the street for 3 years.
And in development.
In development. It's been there. And I remember I told you when we started, I've got a 12-year-old son, a 17-year-old daughter, SMA. They're already passing the ACFT. It is It is grounded in functional fitness, and they love it. It's a great way to do PT as a family. I bring it up because we have, you know, the Secretary of the Army signed the order. We officially now had the ACFT as our record physical fitness assessment. And so it's very simple. As the boss always said, hey, don't freak out. Just work out. Let's go. Let's get after it. So we have it. We're now moving. But when I talk about the ACFT, what I really like to talk about is that the ACFT is actually a component of something the Army is really investing in, and they are actually putting everything from expertise to resources to budget into it. And it's this thing you heard the boss hit on earlier, holistic health and fitness. I would tell you that is the thing that is already dramatically changing the Army. So 3 years ago, I got to see some of the pilot programs that we were working on, and it was an MI battalion. And we put in that battalion, we put strength coaches, right? We put physical therapists, occupational therapists. We put all this expertise down there and really got to move it out on functional fitness. But I'll tell you, SMA, not only did it have a dramatic change in the overall outcome of that unit and organization from a physical standpoint, but it changed the morale of the organization. Almost on every kind of metric you can measure them by, it made them a better unit, not just in physical fitness, but overall health and welfare of that unit and organization. So I'll tell you, it's that combination of now having a fitness test, but built within the framework of holistic health and fitness that I think is, it is the thing that's changing the culture of the Army as we sit here today.
Yeah, you know, I maxed that, the old PT test, I maxed it for probably 26, 27 years or something like it. But I think it was physically tough, not tough, but physically fit and also mentally fit, because I think that allowed me to release a lot of stress and stuff like that. So I just think it's a great idea. Again, it's all about change. You got to change with the times. It's all about making the systems better, and you're making the Army better. There's no question about that. You know, we talked about social media. You guys want to touch on social media anymore? I mean, you know, how you're connecting with America and social media. I think
I think we need to use as many avenues as we can to connect with the American people again. Frankly, that's kind of what I spend most of my day trying to do, trying to find a way. We're connecting with our workforce through our leader professional development program, for example. We're bringing in people like yourself. And we're bringing out, you know, we don't want to just talk to the Army, right? With Jason Dorsey, who I mentioned earlier, this year we're going to talk to Dan Quinn, and he's going to come in and talk to our TRADOC workforce from his workplace down there in Dallas. Cint Marshall, who's also from Dallas, she is the president and CEO of the Dallas Mavericks. We talked to Dr. Miller, who talked about spiritual fitness. So we're trying to bring these thought leaders from around the country into the TRADOC workforce so they can interact and we can hear a different view. So we're not just talking Army to Army. We're talking across the broad spectrum of America. We've done some really neat things like that I'm proud of. That program's good.
Let me ask something. You're talking up here with the CEOs and presidents of companies. Yeah. Don't forget about talking down here, too. Don't forget about the people right in the middle of America that, you know, small business owners that are doing a tremendous job that are not as big as some of these other guys, but have just as good an organization. Sergeant Major, how about yourself?
Yeah, as you talked about social media, so we hit the interactive social media guy, which was really, you know, a gap filler. We wanted to get something on the street to help educate the force at every echelon now because of how rapid things are working. What we're really working on now is how do you bring in command information and social media at echelon, not only to educate you how to properly, you know, maximize the opportunities in that space, right? So for me, you know, my spouse, and I'll be candid, as the boss often says, she's not my better half, she's my better nine-tenths. But she is my spouse, right? So she's the one who will show me something. She's like, hey, have you seen this? Yeah. I'm like, absolutely not. I have not seen it. But she's on all these national advocacy pages. She's involved in social media. So she gets to see things that are critical for you to understand. And that's where you get to see across your formation. And you can not like social media, but guess what?
It's not going away, and it's an incredibly powerful tool that allows you to engage from up here down to that brand new private coming in. The other piece of that is there is risk. There is significant risk in this space. Our enemies operate in this space. We have misinformation. We have disinformation. We have folks who are coming in. You know, I think the boss has 15 fake pages out there. I think you have four or five wives now that I'm tracking. So you got to watch. You got to understand scamming. You got to know how to protect yourself. You got to know how to protect your family. There's this thing called doxing, where your family's information can get just put out on the street to include phone numbers and addresses. So we're also helping our soldiers at every echelon understand the risk. And so we are right now integrating that into PME at echelon for both our officers and our non-commissioned officers.
Yeah, you guys, as I listen to you guys talk, you guys are doing such a great job. I just appreciate you guys just being on the show here with us today. I was thinking about something that you was talking a minute ago, is that, I don't know, sir, I don't know if you never know John Stevens, Sergeant Major Stevens.
I've been mentored by him for years.
Oh, yeah. Well, he gave me the best advice when I got to be a Sergeant Major in the Army. He said, you know something? He said, first of all, he said, don't change who you are. He said, because that's why they hired you. He said, the second thing is 50% of the people like you and 50% of the people don't like you. So when you make a decision, make sure you make a decision that's good for the Army. And I always live by that. And it sounds like you guys are living by the same thing. You're making decisions that'll make our Army better. And it's about life. It's about God. It's about our country. And it's about our family. And it's about certainly about our Army. I can't thank you guys enough for being on the show today. Any final thoughts? Anything we missed? We talked about a lot of stuff, but anything that you want to touch on here, sir? We'll start with you. You'll start, Sergeant Major. Sergeant Major, go ahead, Sergeant Major.
Yeah, I would just tell you, SMA, it's always a pleasure to get to talk to you. And these are not only kind of initiatives that we're working on for the Army, but as you can tell, they are projects of passion. Yeah. Because we have seen the impacts and we've seen kind of what's happening in Turtle. For me, the thing that we're now in a great space to work on from a very passionate standpoint. So as you heard me say in the very beginning that I'm very operationally focused, we had some things to really get after. And so right now, I will think that the key initiative that I will carry for my remaining time at TRADOC is this focus on field craft and rigor injected back into PME at echelon. And so what I mean by that is we did a great job of synchronizing our professional military education for the enlisted corps, you know, all the way from basic training and PLC to becoming a sergeant, all the way through the Sergeant Major's Academy. What we're looking at now is really getting back to those things that are in the basic, everything from, you know, injecting land navigation back into basic leader course, because we realized those things have, we've kind of attrited some of our skills and we've lost some of that. And so we're really putting a significant effort back in there. And that, hey, you don't need $1 million program to get after the ACFT. Matter of fact, we're going to show you how do you prepare and train for the ACFT in a field environment. How do you make sure your kit's straight? How do you put it all on correctly, put you through an obstacle course and make sure you don't look like some ski wreck behind you because all your stuff fell off. And so there are some key items that we're really getting back into on the rigor and the field craft framework. And the second part of that is we got to get soldiers back in the books of field manuals. Now, we're going to do it a little bit a different way, but we're doing what we call the NCO competency test that will be done yearly. And so, hey, what's important to you? You need to know 722, right? Holistic health and fitness. You need to know 70, unit training management. And we'll do kind of a written test annually that we can kind of tie into your incentivization for promotion. So those are kind of some of the big objects that we're working on, that the boss is kind of giving me direction on. I will tell you personally, it will be a passion to get those things moving in the Army, build them into TRADOC because they have a huge impact for the rest of the Army. So always an opportunity to talk to you, SMA. I'm just a pleasure to see you again.
Well, let me tell you something. Well, it's really funny. I was always focused on the basic fundamentals all the time I was in the Army, even at every level. That's what keeps you alive in combat. The second thing I tell you is I tried to get a test back in the Army years ago. I said, you need to make sure that there's checks and balances in the Army, that I know that you're proficient in that particular. And it's not, you know, I'll give you extra money if you do that, but you got to know if I'm proficient. Again, there's no second best in the Army. You have to know what you're doing. Our profession, either number one or number two, I want to be number one all the time. Sir, how about yourself? Any final thoughts?
So if you think about what we started this with when we talked about trust, if you can't understand why the guy sitting to my left and your right is why I trust him, I would trust him with my life, and understand that's what we breed and build in the United States Army.
Yeah.
So that to me... you know, that's the bedrock of our great formations. And so I think that's why it's so critical that we continue to build, you know, educate, assess, train, build, and actually inspire the next generation to be greater than the generation before it. I can't summarize that more succinctly. And then I would just say, as I started, my name's Funk. I'm an American soldier.
Oh, I love that. I was telling Ted today when I started, I said, I like to say my name is Jack Tilly and I'm a soldier. I love that stuff. Hey, look here, guys. If you want
to... Somebody
else.
There you go. But if you guys want to listen today, we had a great discussion today with two great warriors that care so much about our country and want to do the best they can. So, you know, if you're listening, God bless you. Go talk to a recruiter. Learn about the Army. Learn about our country. It's, again, I say this all the time, it's about life, it's about God, it's about what we do each and every day. I'm Jack Tilly, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been listening to Your Next Mission podcast, and thank you for listening today. Please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. Hopefully it's a good review, but if it's bad, I can take that stuff too. I don't mind that. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please send me a message, send me a text at 844-424-1134. Send me an email. I'll reach back out to you. I'll talk to you. I'll get on that social media stuff. I'm the man to listen to all you guys there. You can also visit our partners who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from that military. Also, please visit our corporate partners and see all the jobs they have available for you. It's about helping our veteran community. We want to put you to work. Please know we want to assist you any way you can. I'm going to say that again. Please know. We want to assist you any way we can, any time of the day. Please follow me on all my personal social media channels. I never thought I'd ever say that. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. I don't know. I'm in heaven right now. And if you're enjoying this discussion with General Funk and Sergeant Major Hendricks, and I know that you are, please click on that subscribe button. You never get anything done individually. It's about the team. You know, it's about the Army. It's about our country. It's about pulling together and staying together. Thanks again to General Funk and Sergeant Major Hendricks for being with us today. It was just great, great, great having you on the show. And I want to leave you with three things to remember. We're dedicating season two to Your Next Mission to all those veterans and families who struggle with mental illness. And I always tell this story. You know, I've had a couple of my friends here in the last 6 or 7 months that's committed suicide. Now that's you know, I tell people, you spend all this time in the military. At the end of the military, you're alone and you're by yourself, and nobody's talking to you. So I just ask you to do one thing: reach out to a friend, reach out to a veteran, somebody you haven't talked to in 20 or 30 years, and say, "Hey, buddy, how are you doing? What's going on?" Make their life just a little bit brighter because they need your help. Again, we talked about scars that you just can't see. The other thing is, I'm proud of being an American soldier. And every day, in fact, just about every day I wear my Army hat because I'm proud of being in the Army. I'd ask you to do me one favor. Every Friday, I don't care what service you're from, even though I know the Army's bigger, but I don't care what service you're from, wear your hat, show your colors. Be proud of your service. Be proud of supporting this country and supporting our nation. And I want you to do just one last thing for me. I want to encourage you, all the people listening today, to reach out to your neighbor. Offer them a smile, a helping hand, and together we can bridge that divide that's affected really so many of us here lately. Again, thanks for listening. And thanks to Cloudcast Media, of course, our four presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. Like I said all the time, they love our veterans and families, and we certainly love them. We appreciate all you do for our military. And just like always, see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.